Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, are there certain things that you're afraid of?
Yes, Jim. Snakes, rusty nails, the Chesapeake Bay, heights, Internet Explorer, Martin Sheen, pink eye, snake eyes, melted crayons, Diana Ross, the number 912, artichoke hearts, bears, mice, rats.
Wait, Patrick. Is there anything you're not afraid of?
Music, Jim. I have no fear of music.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes, Jim.
One thing I need to tell you here about recording here on your patio, which is lovely, but as we record this, the new season of BoJack Horseman just came out on Netflix today. So the fact that I'm even here talking with you is kind of a big thing. Yes.
How's the pie here?
Not good.
I'll take all you got. Screw it. Throw it in a bowl with some bourbon and bring me a ladle.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big fan.
I am a big fan of that show. That's a great show. So I'll have to pull like an all-nighter, just like binge watching that show.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
So here we are on Talking Heads Week on Rockin' the Suburbs with your host, Jim Lenihan.
And me, Patrick Foster.
And we're on the patio. We got the fire pit going.
Yep.
Today's album we're going to discuss is Fear of Music.
That's right, Fear of Music, Jim. It's the third of the Big Five. It's where things get murky with Brian Eno, I think.
You know, one thing... Well, okay, I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
As you mentioned on Monday's episode, this is the third time we've done one of these series.
This is the third Big Five, I believe. We had The Clash and Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello and now Talking Heads. So all bands of basically the same era.
Yeah, that's right.
One thing I've noticed, I don't know how much this exists today. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but all these bands released like an album a year.
It's so interesting. You're right. They worked hard and they were all in kind of creative bloom. So they, you know, they were constantly writing new songs and playing new songs. Here, you know, again, as we talked about yesterday, it's interesting the way Eno chose production partners or collaborators, I guess, because, you know, as you crack the bells too hard at ale, I ask you this question.
Sorry.
Do you consider Eno at this point in the Talking Heads a fifth member of the band? Because many people basically say he joined the band at that point.
Well, kind of. That's what I was kind of getting at yesterday. Yeah. It feels like, at least at this period of time, like he would really attach himself to these bands and and make it like sort of his personal project. He was much more than just a producer for hire.
Mm-hmm.
He would seem to really like live with this music, right?
He was a method, you know, a method actor.
But as you say that, and I think he and Byrne had a really special connection.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think they still do. Mm-hmm.
But as you say that, on Talking at 77, the only credited musicians are the four members of Talking Heads.
That's exactly right.
On More Songs About Buildings and Food, there are two additional musicians listed, one being Brian Eno.
That's right.
And one being called Tina and the Typing Pool.
That's right.
I don't know what that is exactly. Yeah, backing vocals on The Good Thing.
Yeah, they may have contributed some background vocals.
So not a whole lot. But on Fear of Music is where you see things start to really open up.
That's right.
Where they start bringing in even more additional musicians because the arrangements are getting much more complex, right? The
arrangements are more complex. Eno and David Byrne, I think, are searching for deeper sounds. The bass player, Tina, and the drummer, Chris, are getting more and more comfortable with playing these flexible kind of grooves. And later we'll hear them veer off into their own thing briefly, which is a very interesting little side project they did,
right?
Which appears in Stop Making Sense. This is where I think the deepest conceptual link between David Byrne and Brian Eno gets aired. Side two of Fear of Music is pretty sludgy and it's pretty arty, and at times you're like, wow, this is a heavy duty record between two guys who are, you know, really doing concepts, and you know, there's a lot of art on the second side of this record. yet there's also an incredible opening song called iZimbra. Mm-hmm. There is another iconic alt-rock signature tune in Life During Wartime.
Like this urban warfare kind of scenario, right? And kind of a paranoid song, which was another sort of hallmark of David Byrne.
Exactly. The paranoia and the twitchiness, like you said on Monday. Yeah, it's kind of unprecedented in rock and roll history. There's never been a song like that that was so self-referential, so jacked up, yet also so of the moment. It was way post-Watergate and paranoia and everything that was happening in New York and America. You know, things felt like maybe they could collapse and you might have to burn all your notebooks. What good are notebooks, you know?
Yeah, right. It also related this experience, this landscape, something that, you know, the scene could kind of relate to,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So the idea of like,
absolutely,
this ain't no party, this ain't no disco, this ain't no fooling around.
Right? Like, how iconic is that? Yeah.
It become one of the classic lines ever in rock and roll, right?
Yeah, and to me, the song I want to play and hear, Jim, is called Cities. It, to me, catches the best of both of those moods, the art sludginess and the exuberance of iZimbra and Life During Wartime and how powerful the rhythm section had become.
Cities.
Oh, man. You know, so you hear there, Jim, the sound effects that start to come in, right? There's some Space Invader bleeps. There's some, you know, ships passing overhead, kind of roaring jet sounds. And there's also a lyric, look over there, a dry ice factory, good place to get some thinking done. What kind of line is that when you're looking for a new home? You know, it's literally like this guy's coming apart, but he's needs to go somewhere and find something that he's analyzing, and it's as uptight as it gets.
So I mentioned earlier about Life During Wartime having the line about this ain't no disco.
Yeah.
But doesn't this song feel sort of like European disco-ish?
Absolutely.
Kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you think that comes from Brian Eno?
I think it does, and I think it probably comes from a lot of the music that the Talking Heads were listening to at the time. And I think it comes from, you know, their experimentation with both African and disco music. Now, you know, the other thing, New York was starting to change too. You know, graffiti was starting to be
right.
A thing. And before too long, there were the early, echoes of hip hop, you know, that were happening. And And the country was changing. It was, you know, the end of a decade. And I think this is, you know, David Byrne and Brian Eno sort of assessing what's happening in the world, both politically and socially and economically. And
All right. I think this might be a good time for a break.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy stuff.
That was kind of heavy.
All right. Take a quick break and we'll come back. And I have a song that's totally different from that, from this album. Okay, Patrick, during this break, I want to read something here provided to us by Audioboom as what they call a standard boilerplate.
Okay.
I believe a boilerplate, it's like, that's like a standard, like language that's like repeated in like documents or things like that, right?
Exactly.
It's sort of like the language that has to be included every time.
No need to read it again.
And I believe the term comes from the fact that they would actually make, when they made the plates on the pressing plant, they would make it from like thicker metal because they were going to use it over and over and over again.
That's right.
So it was metal that might also be used in boilers, I think is how it worked.
Yeah, and this sounds like a little excerpt from our other podcast, Jim Linehan's Industrial America.
You can't get that on any digital source. That's only analog.
That's right.
Okay, so where was I going? Okay, so the standard boilerplate from Audioboom is that Audioboom is the leading podcasting and on-demand audio platform for hosting, distributing, and monetizing content. So the reason why we bring this up is because, you know, we have friends over there at the Audioboom.
We do.
They help us out. They host Rock in the Suburbs.
Yep.
And so if anyone else, I suppose, you know, has a podcast or wants to start a podcast or or do any of that sort of thing, and as long as we find that it's not threatening to us, then you should go to Audioboom and talk with them about hosting the podcast there.
I think it's a great idea, Jim. It's flexible. You can embed it on a website. It's great on mobile. Why not?
There's some mention here about the monetizing part. We haven't seen that for us personally yet.
Not yet, but they haven't sent us any bills.
That's
right. I'm happy about that.
So check out Audioboom. All those things I just said, it's all good. So, Patrick, when it comes to fear of music, you know, you mentioned sort of the side two being this very sort of artistic.
Pretty murky.
Murky. Yeah. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. Right. And it sort of relates to the title, I think, too. I think what they're trying to say there with the name of the record is that this is going to be something that's going to take you in a different way than what you might even think of as music in some ways,
and
right?
If you remember the cover, you know, it had sort of a tactile thing that was kind of like a manhole cover or something you'd see in a city. So it is different. It echoes that, yeah.
But within that side, too, is actually one of the more lovely songs that Talking Heads have ever recorded. That is heaven.
Yeah, it is heaven.
What do you think that means? Heaven is a place where nothing ever happens.
Well, you know, and it's where the band's always playing your favorite song. David Byrne's always been a really good conceptualizer of really big feelings, you know, love and paranoia and trust and in this case, ecstasy, in my opinion. You know, he basically captures that, and it's etched in my mind from Stop Making Sense, but this is the, you know, the original studio version of the song, and treated reverentially, I think, by Eno and the rest of the band. Why do you like that song?
First of all, it's an interesting song just to listen to, like, lyrically. What is this exactly? What is he trying to get at? But also, I think it showcases, you know, we talked earlier about his you know, unusual vocal delivery in a lot of his work. But in this one, you really get the sense that, like, if he puts his mind to it, he can sort of croon a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That chorus is really quite beautiful. Mm-hmm.
He's written two incredible, to my mind, love songs in his career, and this is the first one of those.
Anything else on this record?
To me, it's the solid center of the Talking Heads. Both what I love and what I came to totally respect in hindsight, and they pretty much left their early days behind here, and they're moving into a bold new phase. Yet, as you said, it's only 2 years later. You know, it hasn't been that long,
it's
man.
It's kind of crazy.
They've come a long, long way in a short period of time, and where they go next is even more fascinating.
Agreed. Okay. So let's get to that tomorrow on Rock in the Suburbs with Jim Lenihan and
Patrick Foster.
And you should listen to it
every day.
Every day. Because we're telling you, like, tomorrow, it's a big deal. You're going to listen to this.
Yeah, man.
You can find the show on, tell your friends, on Apple Podcasts or Audioboom, as we mentioned, or many other podcast platforms. Honestly, it's become so big that you can just really, like, lean out the window.
Stick
you can
your
probably
damn
hear
head
it
out the window.
That's right.
You can probably hear it from a radio. It's like the day Sgt. Pepper came out. It's everywhere.
That's right. That's right. And you can also tell us what you think about Talking Heads any other band or music. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The best way is to call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message, and then we can have your voice and we can put it on the show.
That's number one.
That number is 612-440-1984. Do that. Or you can email us, rock@suburbspod.com.
That's always nice.
Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @suburbspod. Mm-hmm. You can also visit our website, which is suburbspod.com.
Yeah, feel free.
That's it. Yeah, feel free. Feel like it. Might want to do that. Okay, let's go on. Let's get out of here because we need to get to tomorrow. This is pretty exciting.
Nothing to see here.
All right. And I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I think I said that already.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow.